Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Thursday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
We're doing okay, and there's one LA team left.
Could have been the last
game at Crypto.com Arena for said team, but we're alive, we're breathing, and we're doing it, Arash.
So, Grant, I had to get you on because you are the one person that I really want to get a state of the Clippers with, because you know when we talked to you following that really wild game four in Dallas, where the Clippers take a 31-point lead. We basically get confirmation at that point that, you know, Kawhi is not only out for game four, I mean, he's effectively going to be out for the series. And the Mavs come back, take a 1-point lead with two minutes left. And again, the Clippers teams of old, most teams, when they blow a 31-point lead, like, that's it. Kudos to them. Paul George, big shot, big game by James Harden and Paul George. It was the exact opposite in game five. The Clippers absolutely got smoked. Again, this has been a weird series in the sense that in two games prior to game five, the Clippers have taken a 30-plus point lead, but then the game comes back to normal. This was a weird game where the Mavs, they won the game by 30 points. And again, a poor night. Paul George, 15 points. James Harden, 7 points. Russell Westbrook, 6 points. Clearly, without Kawhi, you're going to need those guys to do more. Big picture, but also state of the Clippers here going into a pivotal do-or-die game six. What happened there, like in game five, for them to get blown out that way?
The Mavericks, I got to give a lot of credit to, because they upped their defense. They were pressuring Paul George and James Harden. They were up in their grill. They played faster on offense. I know Luka coming in had a sprained knee and he said he was sick. I don't think that either of those were true, just judging by the way that he played. He was fantastic. But if we're looking at the Clippers' point of view, they didn't come out with any effort, any energy. It looked like they weren't ready. And in a game six with a veteran team that the Clippers have, you know, they know how big these games are. It was game five. With a game five series tied and a veteran team that has been in these situations and players that have been in these type spots, and they know how big these games are. And to come out with an effort that I thought was just, it felt like a preseason game. I mean, Paul George didn't show any aggressiveness going to the rim. He wasn't shooting the ball. When he did get into the paint, he would pass it out and be a little, you know, passive aggressive. James Harden just, he wasn't taking that many shots. I mean, Paul George shot 11 times. He should be shooting 20 to 25 times. Russell Westbrook has just been a complete non-factor on offense. This is probably the worst offense I've seen him play as a Clipper. And, you know, he was great in the postseason last year. But this year, I mean, it has just been a really bad series for him offensively. You know, I think after that first game one, he was 5 of 8. After that, I think he's made 4 shots. I think he's 4 of 32, which is just, you can't have that type of, I mean, there's a clip going around social media last night where there is somebody that sat behind the Mavericks bench and he was overhearing their game plan, and their game plan was just let Russell Westbrook shoot the ball.
Yeah.
That was their game plan. And obviously it's working, because he's honestly, Ty Lue's using him in the wrong role. He's a right now they're using him as a corner shooter, like a Ray Allen type, which is so weird because that's not even close he should be doing. But in terms of, I mean, their defense was really lackadaisical. The energy was lacking. When your two stars are playing like that, and look, they didn't just have bad games. They had probably some of the worst games I've seen them play this year. And that's over a course of 82-plus games, Arash. That's not good in a Game 5 pivotal swing game at home. And again, the crowd was not that into it either. I mean, I wasn't there, but you know, through the TV, it just seemed like it was dead from the opening tip. Like, there was no energy. There's no fight. And you know, usually Russell Westbrook's the one to get the crowd going. And when he's not playing well, it's kind of hard for him to get the crowd into it. I will say this, though, is that the Clippers have been here before. Arash, you and I were talking about this before we came on. You know, against the Spurs in 2015. Look, just in 2021, against this Mavericks team, they were down 3-2 going back to Dallas.
Yeah.
And granted, they did have to use a generational Kawhi Leonard game just to get out of that game six and get to a game seven. But they've been in this spot before. And I know it's a different Mavericks team. I know it's a different Clippers team. But this series, you got to win four, right? It's not like, you know, if the Mavericks would have won by one, we would have been saying, hey, they got to win game six. They won by 30. You still got to win game six to keep your season alive. So, like, I know that's a lot of doom and gloom right now, and rightfully so. I mean, that was not a good performance by the Clippers, but there's still room for them to get back into the series. If you tie the series at 3-3 going back to game seven at home, I kind of like the Clippers' chances, but obviously it's so tough to play in Dallas. I mean, that crowd is one of the best in the league. So the Clippers are going to have to play, and Paul George and James Harden specifically are going to have to play like they did in game four if they have any chance here.
Do you think there's been a through line in terms of the way that the Clippers have played when they have not won? Again, this is one of those weird games where, like, yes, they lost by 30 at home, but it's such a odd game where you could, like, almost throw it out. Like, again, you know, there's no way that I think that those three, Paul George, James Harden, Russell's a little bit different. But anyways, there's no way Paul George and James Harden are going to have that kind of a game again. There's no way Dallas wins by 30 again. I think it's a good game. It's a closeout game. It's the hardest game to win. But has there been something that you've seen, a trend that has you more concerned? Because again, going into game six, I can safely say and assume that, again, Paul George, James Harden are not going to go 4 of 13, 2 of 12, 2 of 11. I mean, those were just, to your point, historically bad games. The fact that it happened at home, the fact that it happened in a crucial game five with a series tied 2-2, not ideal. But is there something bigger that leads you to believe that, you know what, this is going to be a tough go? And again, to your point, good, you know, in terms of saying they've done this before. You know, the Clippers, despite what you want to say about their franchise, they've come back against a very good team, 3-2, the defending champion Spurs in 2015, Dallas, who, again, they won the first two games in Los Angeles, had a 20-point lead in game three. I mean, that was one of the best comebacks in postseason history. But is there something that you've seen in these Clippers losses, these three Clippers losses, and again, no Kawhi, that has you concerned?
Effort, energy, and aggressiveness. That's what the key has been in those three losses that they've had. In game two and three, it was a lot of pounding the ball into the ground and ISO basketball and no flow and just, you know, lackadaisical effort on defense. And I've seen that through all three. And I know games two and three were with Kawhi Leonard, and that kind of threw a wrench into things. But I saw the same exact thing without Kawhi Leonard on the floor in game five. It was a lot of just isolation basketball here. James Harden dribble the ball and try to do something while four other guys stand around him and just look at him. And look, that's not going to work. I know it may have worked in 2018 and 2019 with James Harden, but it's not going to work now. He needs to be in the flow of the offense. Look, Ivica Zubac, he was so fantastic in that first half, and he was dominating the paint. And then I think he got one field goal in the second half, Arash, one. And I don't get why, because he's so good in the paint. And when you get him the ball, even if he gets fouled, I mean, his presence down low is so great to where I don't know why they don't get him the ball. It just seemed like the game plan was just off, and I don't get it. I don't know how you're not prepared for this game. It's a swing game, and they went away from all the things they did in game four. And I'm very surprised by it. But here's the thing. I mean, if you do get good games from James Harden and Paul George in a game six, and you know, for whatever reason, this team plays better on the road. I don't know why they play better on the road. I mean, I don't know. Paul George has mentioned previously that sometimes it's just calmer to play on the road because, you know, all the odds are against you. You just got to go out and do your thing. But if these two guys play well in that game six, I mean, Terrence Mann has shown flashes of being great. Like I said, Ivica Zubac has stepped up. Even PJ Tucker, I mean, in his limited minutes, I know I've been on PJ Tucker a lot over the course of the year, but he is a guy that gave so much energy and effort at the end of that game when they put him in. He locked up Kyrie, locked up Luka. He was diving on the floor for loose balls, getting offensive rebounds. I would not be surprised if I see him in there. And another thing, and Arash, you know my devotion to this guy, Thailand. Bones Highland outscored James Harden and Russell Westbrook by himself in about 2 minutes. This is a guy, it's sad to say, but he's such a great scorer.
Yeah.
And he's got so much energy and he can run the floor and push it out in transition. Maybe you give him some minutes in a game six. I know it may disrupt chemistry, but there are some things that they do have in their back pocket that you can throw out there. I think the main thing, the gist of all this rant that I'm saying is that they need better energy, they need better effort, and they need better focus. And Arash, I remember we were talking at the end of the season, maybe middle of the season, I was saying, what's wrong? You were asking me, what's wrong with the Clippers? And I just told you, it's not a lack of talent, it's a lack of energy and effort. And right now, that's what I saw. And that's not a good sign going into, you know, at the end of a first-round series, but I have seen them turn it up and flip that switch. So it's not all lost.
It's so odd, though, that would take place in the postseason, though. You know, I get it during the course of a regular season, but come playoff time, you're playing at home. And again, to your point, the crowd wasn't into it because the Clippers really never gave them something to get pumped about. I mean, again, I think you were at game one, and you said it was one of the best atmospheres. And again, yeah, listen, it's first half, and your team's up by 30. You are having a good old time. You're grabbing a drink at the half and you're having fun. You know, when you're down by 30, and again, like that game went completely off the rails in the second half. Yeah, in fact, the fans began to leave in the fourth quarter. So it's a different crowd, but I just don't get how in the postseason you cannot get up for these games. And again, like as a Cowboys fan, like someone said that when they lost to the Packers, I'm like, I don't want to hear that. It's the playoffs. Like you do all of this stuff, training camp, preseason, regular season. And I get the regular season is a grind. You know, you get to, you know, the second half of the season and you're playing, you know, Tuesday night in like Oklahoma City and you're just trying to get through it. At the end of the day, they got the top four seed. They got home court advantage. These are playoff games. The series is tied 2-2. Like if you can't get up for game five, I don't know what to tell you to that point. Let's just say it again. I really do think game six on Friday night will be tremendous. It's a closeout game, generally speaking, and I know it's happened. Like my guess is these guys will have enough heart, have enough moxie to not get blown out. But if they lose, what happens? Again, I just think the sting of that game five, the number of longtime Clipper fans and even Clipper bloggers and people in that sphere, and you know them well, Grant, that game five just left a really bad taste in their mouth. Like, are you kidding me? Like they started to think back to, like, you know, 2022 and 2023 and 2024. And then you get to a point where you're like, I don't want to see them run it back. And we got that way with Chris Blake and DeAndre towards the end of their run where it's like, listen, I can't get up for this again. Like, you know, we got to change it up. If this series is over in game six or seven, let's just say that if they lose in the first round, I really think that game five will be in the back of the minds of a lot of fans. What do you think this team has to do to get over that hump now?
It's so tough to say because the circumstances are a little bit different from 2017. I remember 2017, that was the end of the Lob City era in a lot of respects. I mean, that's 2017 is when the Clippers lost to the Utah Jazz. Yep. And, you know, Blake got hurt, CP got hurt, and Chris Paul was traded that offseason to the Houston Rockets. they kept Blake Griffin. You know, they wanted to do kind of a soft rebuild.
Yeah.
And then obviously Blake Griffin was traded to the Pistons, kind of blindsided after he signed that extension. So there's a lot of similarities though, between that season and this season. It just feels like, you know, are we going to do this again? Like, we're losing to the Warriors, you know, back then. We're losing to the Warriors, we're losing to the Rockets, and now you're losing to the Mavericks, you're losing to, you know, the Phoenix Suns in the playoffs. I would be a little bit surprised if they do make any drastic changes, just because, like I said, there are some things that are different this time around. You're going into a new arena. You want to sell tickets. I know they're going to sell tickets. I get that. You want to market it. You want to have a good competitive team going into that arena. You're redesigning your logo. You're redesigning your branding. You want to have a really good team to supplement that. So while 2017 was the end of Lob City and it feels a lot like that, I feel like this time around, I mean, if you can, I feel like Steve Ballmer is going to push his chips to the table again, all to the center of the table. And say, look, Paul George, we're going to give you this extension. We're going to run it back, James Harden. We're going to give you the money that you need. And we're just going to see where this goes. I mean, they're all in at this point. And here's the other thing. If they let Paul George go, or if he decides to go, there really aren't that many better options out on the free agent market that they can go get. I mean, I know that Paul George has had two stinkers in this series, but he's also been really, really good in this series and really, really good in playoffs past. And James Harden, besides this last game, has been really good. Like, he's had 20-plus plays. This is probably the best playoff series I've seen from him in a while. So, you know, I know it's right now there's a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. Like you said, there's a lot of, you know, it's recency bias. But if you look at the totality of it, like, these are probably your best options moving forward, and especially going into a new arena. So I don't expect a lot of drastic changes. But around the edges, I mean, even Lawrence Frank and Ty Lue have said this before in press conferences, we need to get younger, we need to get more athletic around the edges, and I think that's what they'll probably push towards.
You know, the carrot that's kind of out there, and at this point, like, I mean, there's a track record yet. I mean, 4 years in a row, and it's just wild to think about it. I mean, the carrot that's out there, and again, by the way, Kawhi's the one that's not even a question because he did sign the extension, but the one thing that you can say if you're Steve Ballmer or Frank or whatever is that we've not had a healthy Kawhi. But at this point, you know, 4 years in a row, like, at what point? And by the way, they've done everything. This is not about about a trainer or about, like, they've done the load management. They've not done load management. They've really tried everything. But the thing is, you need Kawhi healthy this time of year. So there's no solution there. But the reason that they would say, listen, we got to run it back, is that when we have seen all these guys healthy, they are arguably the best team in the league. Problem is, Kawhi has not been healthy this time of year. So, by the way, it could change. You know, when you're moving in, they're not just moving into a new arena. It's a new training facility, new headquarters. Again, new vibe, new branding, new logos, the same name. But, you know, like, but the one thing I will say is that when these guys are healthy, and by the way, Kawhi is a big part of it. If this team is ever going to win a championship or contend for one or get to the finals for the first time, it'll be because of Kawhi. I mean, this idea that, oh, they're just as good, if not better, without Kawhi for two games, maybe three games. But, you know, really quick before we close out, if they run it back, I do think that's the big reason why, to your point, you're not going to get much better than Paul George. I think you're going to get Harden and Russell Westbrook at the hometown discount. It's a good story in terms of the four Los Angeles, you know, born guys, you know, trying to lead the Clippers back. But, man, I just think it's going to be hard for a lot of fans to get pumped up for that if they lose again in the first round. But it does seem like, Grant, that is the best option. And if Kawhi is healthy, that is still a contending team in my view.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's still going to be a very competitive team, and you just got to bank on the fact that Kawhi Leonard is healthy. You just got to bank on that, because when he is healthy, he's top five. And I know that, you know, I sound like a broken record, because every year we say this, and every year around April and May, we do come up with this injury thing. But, you know, if he is healthy, and he was healthy in 2020, he was healthy for a little bit of 2021, And if you have Paul George and James Harden to go with him, I still like their chances in the West. It's just that we haven't seen it. And that's what makes it so frustrating. But the potential, you can never turn down the potential of it. You can never just go the other way from what it can be. Because say he leaves and goes to another team, I mean, that's just going to hurt even more to see him do it on another team. It's going to hurt even more to see Paul George do it on another team. So a lot of times teams overpay for the asset just because they don't want to lose the asset, right? Yeah. It's better to overpay for an asset than to lose it in general. So I think they'll run it back. And just because, you know, it's not just because of the arena, but just because of the competitive basketball of these three guys. I mean, they're still good basketball players. They're just not their primes of what they used to be. Kawhi Leonard is the youngest of the three as well, which is something that not a lot of people think about. He's still the youngest of the three. So, look, I know it's a dire situation now. The series is not over, but if it does get to that point, I think that we'll see all four of those guys back next year.
Yeah, and listen, I think if all four come back, you're talking about a top four team again, perhaps even a top two team. And at the end of the day, it all comes down to health. If Kawhi is healthy, and we've seen glimpses of this, we saw it in 2020 when they were a game away from the Western Conference Finals. We saw it in 2021 when they got to the Western Conference Finals. If Kawhi is healthy, this is one of the best teams in the league. So we'll see what they do. But again, the series is not over, to Grant's point. They do have a chance. Grant, you're the best. We'll chat with you tomorrow. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll talk about Steve Karp, another team on the brink of elimination thanks to a Dallas team, the Vegas Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground,
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Steve Karp. Steve, how are you doing, my friend?
Better than the Golden Knights.
And much
better than the Kings.
Yeah, right? Okay, so let's start here. We talked to you before the series. It has played out like you predicted, but let's start with the Golden Knights series. Again, that series, I think going into it, obviously Dallas was the one seed. But Vegas obviously gets the surprise return of Mark Stone. The captain is back. They win the first two games in Dallas. Steve, if there's a turning point in the series, certainly game three. Logan Thompson has the game of postseason, the game of his life. And I think everyone thought that the Vegas would find a way to win that game, certainly in overtime. They did not. Series flips. Dallas goes on to win a game four, ties up the series 2-2. Unique series in the sense that the road team has won every single game. Once again, turning point, game five, Dallas wins the first home game of the series. So now Dallas is up 3-2 going into Vegas Friday. Steve, this has been a wild series. Your thoughts?
Well, it's not over.
Yeah.
So anybody who writes off the Golden Knights, I think, would be a bit foolhardy. That said, Dallas is playing better with each game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. Because so far, whatever Bruce Cassidy has tried to do to counter what Pete DeBoer has done hasn't really worked. He's been playing Tomas Hertl up and down the lineup. He's taken Anthony Mantha in and out of the lineup. He's sad Zach Whitecloud put Ben Hutton in. He even changed goalies in Game 5, going with Aiden Hill instead of Logan Thompson, a move I'm not quite sure was a wise one. All right? But it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback on a Thursday, right? It's easy for us to nitpick and criticize. I mean, he knows his team better than I do, and I'm around it all the time anyway. That said, if Vegas can't find some scoring real fast from a few people, and if their top two defensemen, Alex Pietrangelo and Shea Theodore, can't find their games, there will be handshakes tomorrow night in T-Mobile Arena.
Steve, what would that mean? Again, this has not been a great season for Vegas in the sense that, listen, they are the last seed, they are the eighth seed, they're going up against the one seed, the Dallas Stars, but they've never been really healthy this season, and we know how hard it is to repeat. If Vegas' season comes to an end, whether it is Game 6 in Vegas or back in Dallas in Game 7, again, clearly a disappointing season, but it's sort of been trending in this direction. The only surprise would be that Vegas had a 2-0 series lead. But I mean, if you had told anyone for the past couple of weeks and months, like I don't think this would be that surprising. I mean, what would it mean if their season does come to an end either in Game 6 or in Game 7?
It probably means that all the moves Kelly McCrimmon made prior to and during the season didn't work out as expected, because he really thought trading for Noah Hanifin, trading for Anthony Mantha, trading for Tomas Hertl would shore up what he felt were some deficient areas. Mm-hmm. And they kind of knew they were going to get Mark Stone and Will Carrier back and you know, Theodore. And so there's no excuses from that standpoint. Now, yes, William Karlsson playing hurt. He's been less than 100% effective at what he does, but he's still out there. He's still trying. Okay. I'm talking about guys like Chandler Stephenson and Ivan Barbashev and to a degree, Jonathan Marchessault. They're not scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen had a breakaway last night that would have tied the game. Now, Jake Ottinger did make a hell of a save on him. But still, you know, you've got to convert there in that opportunity, because Dallas was giving away very little in the third period. They really had packed it in. They were playing Katie Bonador defense. They were holding on. And when you get a great chance like Stephenson got, you don't convert, it can really deflate the team. So you've got all these factors at work. Aiden Hill was not particularly sharp. Now, he hadn't played in a while since the end of the season. I think he played against Anaheim the last time he was in net. All this being said, let's give some credit to Pete and Dallas.
Yeah.
All right? Because they were down 0-2 going into Vegas's barn. People were writing them off. And if they, you know, have anything, they got a lot of moxie. Though these guys are a veteran group as well. You know, you got guys like Jamie Benn and Jason Robertson and Hintz and Marchman. And, you know, they've got Duchesne. They got guys, Heiskanen. And they got the better goalie right now. So these guys weren't going to fold and just give in to Vegas. You knew they were going to come fighting, ready to battle, and they have. And right now they have the upper hand, and they've earned it. So Vegas has to come out Friday night for Game 6 with a ton of desperation. And if I'm Dallas, I'm trying to end it right here. I don't want to have to play Sunday, even though I'll be at home.
No doubt about that. I mean, you again, if you can close it out in 6, you do it. game seven, I think anything can happen. And when you're going up against the defending champion and guys who've been there before, I mean, that's where it gets it gets very scary if you're the Stars. One more thing on this series. Again, when you win a championship, you want to give the champions a chance to defend that title. So generally speaking, the GM wants to bring back that group. Obviously, if you get eliminated in the first round, Steve, and you've not had a great season, whether you're hurt or not, that's not the case. What are some of the big picture? And again, we'll have more time to talk about this if their season does come to a close this weekend. What are some of the moves you think that they will make if they don't advance past round one?
Well, I think regardless of this, there's going to be several changes. All right. First of all, they got to figure out if they want to be able to pay Jonathan Marchessault, who had a career year. All right. He's making $5 million. He's going to want somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 8, and he's going to want term of like 4 or more years. I don't think Vegas is doing term, long-term for him. He's going to be 34, and they've got to figure out if they can maybe give him more money, less years, and keep him. I think both sides want him in Vegas. He wants to stay here. He's told me as much, but he also wants to be treated fairly. But I do think Chandler Stephenson, Alec Martinez, Will Carrier, who are all unrestricted free agents come July 1st, will probably be looking for new homes. And don't be surprised if Kelly McCrimmon maybe moves on from Shea Theodore, who has really battled some injury issues and simply has not looked comfortable playing for Bruce Cassidy. They can get a lot in a trade for Theodore. So bear that in mind as we go into the offseason. He will keep his goaltending the way it is. I don't see him trading for a goalie. Frankly, there aren't that many options out there, and there are other teams with greater needs in net that will be willing to pay more for, like, let's say, Calgary's Jacob Markstrom. The team we're about to talk about, I think, they might be looking for a goaltender as well. So that's the night situation, regardless of what happens in the course of the next day or two.
Yeah, and to your point, the other hockey team that we cover here at the Sporting Tribune, the Los Angeles Kings. We talked about Groundhog's Day for them. The Edmonton Oilers, once again, in round one. Steve, they've regressed in the sense that the first year that these two teams played each other, it was a classic seven-game series. They met up again last year, six-game series. This year, five-game series. I don't think the Kings want to see them again because it could be a four-game sweep. Again, to your point, listen, they do need a goaltender. They will be in the market. But again, very disappointing close to the season for them. What did you see from the Kings? Again, bad matchup for them.
It really was, because simply put, the Oilers are faster than the Kings. The Kings, and again, this is no knock on guys like Doughty or Kopitar. They've got to get younger and faster. They need more Quentin Byfields on the ice if they're going to make a serious run at playing for a Stanley Cup in the future. It's a faster, quicker game being played these days. And if you look at the teams that are successful, they all have that common denominator. They all have speed. Colorado's got it. Florida's got it. Carolina has it. The Rangers have it. You've got it. Boston, they still have guys with speed. I mean, when I'm watching the Kings, it's like, it's almost like the game's being played in slow motion. Yeah. And it takes me back to like the 1960s, before there was a Los Angeles Kings. I'm talking about original six hockey.
Yep.
Where everything was just really methodical. They don't play with as much verve or joie de vivre, if you want to call it that. But, you know, and their special teams play. They got outplayed. Now, look, You got McDavid and Draisaitl and Hyman out there. Nugent Hopkins, Bouchard. I mean, Edmonton's got a lot of weapons, right? We all know this. So what do? You stay out of the box, and the Kings didn't do a great job of that. They took, you know, penalties at the most inopportune times and the most inopportune places. And I don't care how good your kill is, they're going to find a way to score when you got that kind of talent on the ice, which is what Edmonton does.
Yeah, again, it could be a very slow time period here at TST. If the Clippers get bounced by Dallas, if the Vegas Golden Knights get bounced by Dallas, again, no Lakers, no Kings. A lot of baseball talk coming up here, Carpy.
But no Mike Trout for the Angels.
I know. Oh, it's been brutal.
Just
brutal.
This guy, you know, let's just talk about him real fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he has worked so hard, you know, because he plays the game so hard. In a way, he's like a modern-day Mickey Mantle.
Yep.
And that he just always goes 100% full speed on every play, whether he's on defense, in the outfield, or at the plate. And he has racked up all these injuries over the years. I mean, can you imagine had he stayed healthy?
Yeah.
You know, how great he truly would be, and how much better the Angels would have been. Maybe Ohtani might have stayed.
Mm-hmm.
But here you go. You know, once again, the Angels are a middling team, and it's going to be another long summer in Anaheim. Let's be honest about it. And again, you're playing in the shadow of the Dodgers to begin with, you know, who are in first place and, you know, doing some really good things. And even when they get it all going together, you know, look out. I mean, so it's got to be tough to be an Angels fan.
Yeah, I mean, right, there's no question about that. And by the way, I think that history of always getting hurt got to Mike Trout when he talked to the media. Claudia got that great, she was right up there, and her clip got picked up by all over ESPN and whatnot. He got emotional because I think he finally was healthy and playing well, and then he gets hurt once again. I actually got to go to Churchill Downs. Again, it was only for a couple of days. I'm back in Las Vegas for the Canelo fight. What a magical, magical place. Again, they've done a lot of refurbishments to the paddock and suites and things like that. But again, so now I have my pick. And again, it's not the favorite, but he is the number two horse. Sierra Leone. That is my pick for the Kentucky Derby, Carpy.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah, my only concern about Sierra Leone is the trip. He'll be coming from well off the pace. He's going to have to deal with some traffic issues heading into that far turn as he starts to make his move. But fortunately, you know, he's got a good jockey, Tyler Caffleone, who knows that track and understands how to ride this horse. So I think there's a big part of it that matters. It's going to be, you know what, between the Derby on Saturday, the fight Saturday night, you're in a great spot being here in Vegas. And I encourage our listeners from out of town, if you can't make it this year, come to town on that first weekend in May.
Yeah.
Come sit in a racing sports book for the Derby. You know, try to get a ticket to the fight, whoever is fighting that night at T-Mobile Arena. It's just a cool sports day if you really want to experience Vegas. So, you know, a lot of people come here, of course, you know, for Super Bowl or opening week of the NCAA men's tournament. And that's all well and good. There's nothing wrong with that. But this Cinco de Mayo weekend, which always coincides with the Derby, is just a fun, fun weekend to be in town, and I'm glad you're here for it. Looking forward to sitting with you at the fight. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a great fight, unfortunately. I think Canelo, you know, handpicked this guy. He should be fighting David Benavidez. That fight will eventually come to pass. I mean, when everyone's fixated on what Oscar De La Hoya has been saying, and I guess you were there for the for the thing yesterday or Wednesday, whatever it was, with the presser, you know, all I know is Cannell never spoke this good English when I covered him.
But by the way,
at least he knows all the curse words.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He learned all the bad words because we can't repeat what he said. And I was there front row center with a lot of our boxing friends, Lance Pugmire, Dan Raphael. Yes, the curse words were flying. To your point, this is one of my favorite weekends of the year in Las Vegas. I put it up right there with the Super Bowl. I put it up right there with the first games of the NCAA tournament. Steve, you in particular, again, you don't know what the hockey situation will be like. And then one day if the baseball comes and the NBA comes, this weekend can really grow. But really quick, what will these 2 days be like for you? Again, Friday night at the Fortress, Golden Knights, it is a win or go home situation for them. Then you'll watch the Derby somewhere. And then you will be back at T-Mobile Arena for Canelo. What will these 2 days be like for you?
Long.
Yeah, but hopefully fun. But yes, long. It'll be long. It'll be long. Yes.
You know, I mean, what if the hockey game goes overtime or double overtime Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, and that means the workers have to step on the gas to get the arena ready for boxing.
Yep.
And stuff, and then of course. I'll watch the Derby from home, but I'll make my wagers prior, you know, to going home. I'll come by one of my neighborhood places and then get everything there. And then, you know, we'll see if there's hockey to watch on Sunday with the Golden Knights and stuff. But, yeah, you know, look, at some point we are going to have a baseball team. Some point we're going to have the NBA here. So it will only add to what will be a very busy but fun sports weekend.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the beautiful thing. And by the way, like there's concerts happening this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, like right next to me, there's just, I mean, this lineup for this concert is incredible. So, yeah, listen, there's never a bad time to come to Las Vegas. Again, I mean, the reason that the footprint is what it is for the Sporting Tribune, we're very, you know, we're all sort of connected, whether you're in Southern California, Las Vegas or Hawaii, you're always looking for a time to go to one place or the other. You know, if you're in Vegas, you want to go out to Southern California, Hawaii. Hawaii, you want to go out to Southern California, Vegas. But again, I have told people, because again, the Super Bowl gets hyped up. Everyone knows about the Super Bowl. Everyone knows about March Madness in the first round of the tournament. A lot of people know about New Year's Eve, you know, but the weekend that kind of gets lost in the mix or not talked as much about is the first Saturday, first weekend in May, just all the big events happening here with generally a big fight, Kentucky Derby at the sports book, and all the sports books do a very good job of, you know, serving up the mint juleps and getting the hats out there and things like that. So that'll be fun. Harpy, you're the best. I will be sitting next to you on Saturday. I'll probably be across the street at the sports book for the game on Friday. All right. That's all the time we have for today.
Sounds good.
Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.